Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I have a challenging story for today.
I don't even have coffee.
That ends well.
Okay. I'm really going to trust you.
Okay. And I'm making up the name of the client. We're going to call him Lamb. And he and I can see each other. And at the very beginning of the session, he says to me, I was referred to you. I know you have a podcast show. Never heard it.
Oh,
don't know anything more than what my friends have told me about you. I was just guided to make the phone call and have the session with you and say, go open. And he says, so I'm just going to say, go open.
Okay.
And I'm going to see what happens.
Okay. What I love about this setup, because it is a setup.
Oh, yes.
From the people or loved ones around them, is that these individuals typically need the most fucking help. They're usually in a shitstorm when someone says, why don't you just let her go open?
Yes. Yeah. So he says, you go ahead and do that. And I said, I am prepared. I said, I am prepared for this open. I said, because I got all your stuff earlier this morning when I was doing my gardening. I was out watering the plants. And when I came in and put my makeup on and did my hair and all of that and got ready for my day. And he goes, what?
Like, yeah, we've spent the day together. Nice to meet you.
He goes, don't you start getting the stuff now? He goes, like, I'm paying you for the hour.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, you are.
And he says, but you mean, and he starts laughing. He goes, do you mean to tell me that you have to work for me and you don't get paid for that time while you were out doing your garden?
Yeah. You want to know what's even more infuriating? I'm full-time coaching now. I pick up on your client's shit.
Oh, shit.
So Karen's getting paid. And I will say, like, I have anxiety or I have a massive headache.
Yes.
Or I've got this pain in my side, and you'll run up the stairs at 3:03 and be like, it was my clients. God, I'm so happy for you.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's just life.
I know that. So anyway, so
I should follow that up. It is still a gift. Because if it means that we get to affirm each other, if mm-hmm. it means that you or I are more confident in the gifts, then that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he said, so you get all of this stuff earlier in the morning. He goes, this sounds like not a good situation for you. He says, but go ahead, tell me what happened. And he says, and Karen, he says, I don't mean this to be rude. I am interested. I just don't understand any of this. But he says, I'm not close-minded. So I said, not a problem. Here's what happened this morning. I said, this is what came in. I said, you're calling because you want to know about your family dynamics. You want validations and affirmations as to how you see your family. The people who referred you just think that you're doing okay, that you're doing better than you think, but that you need like a final like boot right up your ass to finally push you over a tipping line to go no contact with your family. And he just looked blank. He goes, am I supposed to respond and give you a holy shit?
Did his flared nostrils say holy shit?
No, he didn't have flared nostrils. Or not that I could see. And he goes, or what do I do? And I said, say nothing. I actually don't want you to say a thing. And I turned slightly to my left, which would mean that I'm not looking at the TV monitor on the iMac. And I'm looking more at the wall because there's a wall over there. And so I said to him, I'm not going to look at you. I don't want any responses, whether you're feeding me and you think that I'm reading your energy by the looks on your face. And I said, because you're open, I think you're still saying you're skeptical. So I said, so why don't we just, I'm not even going to look at you. I'm just going to look away. And he goes, sure, that's fine. That I'm good with that. So I looked away and I did not look at him. And I said, your mother is the main issue in the family. And I said, she has a mental illness, or, and I don't even know if that's the correct word anymore, but I said she has never been diagnosed. She will never be diagnosed. So it's very difficult to offer this as a validation other than the fact that you have suspected it and they can validate your suspicion. And the guides are going to describe the personality. They say that your mom has severe mood swings and that it, typically on you. So while she is struggling with mental health, she does take most of her, I'll say, challenges out on him. And I said, so the guides are showing you, like with a t-shirt on, with a target on you. And he goes, and I just hear this little, okay. And I said, the guides are saying that she's quite mean to you and that your dad becomes quite mean to you. You don't have memories right from childhood where they're all mean to you off the bat. This meanness towards you, this target on your back becomes evident as her diagnosis never comes, as she never seeks help. So as she gets worse, the abuse on you increases. Your siblings see this, and he says, pause. Do you know I have siblings? And I said, I do. I said, you have sisters. And he goes, okay, go. Their behavior, as all of you have aged, has become worse. And he goes, So I'm just getting these verbal cues. And I said, your mom, one of the main things your mom did when she was unkind to you, when she was mean to you, was to be mean to you and then to compare herself almost instantly to another mother, to say how much worse it is for another kid. And that really the way that she was treating you was so good in comparison to what other kids got. And I said, but the spirit world wants you to know that she made that stuff up. She didn't actually know that all of those kids were being treated that way. She made things up because it was like, well, in her eyes then, she believed her own lies. So I am better than Johnny's mom. I'm just picking Johnny, but Johnny's mom, Jane. So she now starts comparing herself to a fictional Jane and a fictional Johnny. But they become so real to her that she actually believes she's a better mother than the fictional Jane. And she starts to believe that he's actually got it better than a fictional Johnny. And he says, pause. Can I ask a question? And I said, anytime you want. He goes, okay. He says, did my dad know this? Did my dad know that this Jane and Johnny are fictional? And he goes, and do I validate that this is correct? Am I supposed to tell you this is correct or this is not correct? I don't know what the hell you're talking about. He goes, because don't you kind of worry that you're talking and you're just making sense to people?
All the time.
Or pardon me, not making sense to people?
All the time.
Yeah. And I came back laughing and said, oh, sweetie, I constantly think I don't make sense to people. And he just started laughing. So I said to him, Lem, I'm just going to ask the spirit guides because right now they're talking all about your mom. I want to find out about your dad. You're going to have to give me a minute. And then I'll go into that. And that might lead to someplace. I don't know. I said, I'm just letting you know what I'm doing. And he goes, oh, I like that. I didn't know you were going to do that. Okay, that's cool. So then I waited for the spirit guides to give me that information. And I said, okay, so this is what I get. They show me your dad going to work. And he's a manager at work. And he's not a good manager. And he kind of chuckles. I just hear the laughter. And I said, he's not good because all he wants to do as a manager is order supplies and sell products and deal with the customer. He can't stand dealing with any kind of human interaction. I hear laughter again. And I said, so he complains when he comes home that he's had to manage people all day and he's irritated because Why would that be part of my job as a manager?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So then I said, when he comes home, he now says how sick and tired he is of having to manage people at work. And he complains. He says, he'll say their names at home and stuff like that. But when he gets home and complains about it, then he refers to the fact that he has to manage the house too.
Mm-hmm. The people in the house.
The people. Right. That he's really resentful that all he does is go from managing his at work to managing at home. But he never lets the children understand that who he's managing is mom. The moods, the fallout, the drama that she creates, the problems she creates. He never says that. So all of the children believe it's them. That who he's managing is like all of their stuff. And I told him that. And
I do. Can I interject for a second here? And this is not in his defense, but I just want to explain this to some people who might be listening to this and resonating or confused. Children are going to believe that anyway, especially depending on their age, right? Children are self-referencing. Or egocentric, because that's the way we develop, right? Before we have life experience, to know that there's more outside of me and my world. So even if they were young children, if he had come home and said, look, this is really hard. Your mom is, you know, really struggling and it's difficult to come home and manage her. A, wouldn't be appropriate to say to children, right? And even if you said to them, you know, do you know how much I love you? You are so important to me. I love coming home to you. I am tired, but I want you to know it's not you when I'm in a bad mood. Kids still can't conceptualize where that would have come from. And so they do internalize, I must not be trying hard enough. I must not be doing enough. It must be me. Because cause and effect in their world is only something they've done to cause an effect, right? And even if he had appropriately or inappropriately mentioned that it was their mother, children are still going to feel responsible to behave in a way that doesn't make her, so cause and effect, lash out or become unmanageable for their father. So it's a catch-22, which is why I'm so shocked that people just have kids so easily.
This is really wonderful that you've explained it like that because, and I'll like, we're just going to chat for a second as opposed to me saying the rest of his session.
Sure.
But it becomes clear in the session between us that he still has siblings and it seems he's trying to work through that. But his sisters, from what I can see, Kelly, still are in that kind of mindset.
Oh, absolutely. That's how our personalities are born, right? So as a child, you're watching your parents interact like this, where it feels unmanageable. You think it's normal because it's your household, but really, internally, we're feeling our way through life in one shape or form, right? And then it's like, okay, I need to be more of this or less of this. Your personality gets, you know, blooming. And then you don't really question it or let that go in adulthood. And so you keep on keeping on in the same ways.
Mm-hmm. So it comes out, like I said, it comes out in the session that his family does, which, and this is just an aside in our conversation, which turns out to be why the friend, part of the reason why the friend group say to him, just go open, because they're hoping so much of this stuff's going to come out. So let's go back into the session now. So then they said, so they, the guides told him about the word managing and he says, pause. And I said, okay. And I liked how he did this because I'm not looking at him, but we have a screen up, right? So he goes, pause. How do you know about the word managing? And I thought, well, that's weird. Why would he ask me about what that one word? And I just kind of chuckled for a second and thought, okay, I don't know. So I just said, I haven't got a clue. Let me ask the guides. And as I asked the guides, I see his father standing there with like a chalkboard, but it looked like the one downstairs in our treatment room or art room now. And he's got the word managing in quotations. Meaning like that I don't really like managing, so I'm going to put them in quotations because I actually don't manage anything I don't want to.
Right.
So I told him about the chalkboard with the word manage on it. And that's when Lamb comes through and says to me, Karen, He says, you are so funny and so spot on. He says, managing is the word my dad used constantly, daily. If I tell my sisters I saw a psychic medium and they don't believe me, and I say that, wait a minute, she even described dad holding a chalkboard with the word managing on it in quotation marks because he hates managing his family, that they would absolutely become believers.
It takes something different for everyone.
Doesn't it? And like, I think that's the needle in the haystack.
For him, yeah.
Yes, and I've come to see in after 14 years of channeling that there are a lot of needles in haystacks.
For sure.
And that often clients need that one particular needle or they dismiss, and others don't, they're not quite as I need the needle in the haystack. They're yeah. a little bit off that barometer.
It's funny too, like for some people, they get their needle in the haystack and it's just like, I will not question anything from here on out. Like, I 100% believe you. And if we can't place it in this moment, I trust that I will figure it out later. And you're like, how did we get from A to Z? But okay, here we are.
Yeah. And I'm dying to die. Just in that
I'm sense. Dying to die.
Wait, do you know what I mean though?
I am too. I have a list of questions.
Yes. Because like, I just want to be able to sit with the spirit guides and go, what was the needle in the haystack about for all these people? And faith. More important.
It's faith.
No, I know that.
But I'm just saying you don't need to die to get there because I need you to not die.
Okay.
I'm answering the question for you.
Okay. But more importantly, like, when did you guys decide, yeah, we'll give this one the needle in the haystack? Nope, this one, we're not giving it to them.
Because I think I feel like I can answer that question, and maybe I'm just an egotistical asshole right now, but like, because faith is everyone's own journey.
Mm.
And someone doesn't just get to call you up, Karen, and say, you know what, I'm going to make this person make me believe.
Right.
People have to be, it's almost like coaching. I go through coaching calls constantly. Are you ready, willing, and able? Because if not, yeah. I don't want to work with you.
Yes.
Right? And I think very much the guys want to work with us, but if you are not ready, willing, and able, they can give you all the signs and all the needles in the haystack, yeah. and you can keep dismissing them. Like, really and truly, the stars do have to align for you to say, I am going to accept faith as a way of operating. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like forever and ever and you don't take action and you dismiss other universal laws, but the stars really do need to align for you to say, okay, I've had a moment of this knowing, this capital K knowing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to move forward like that from now on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everyone has to work hard to get there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because what's broken our faith is different for everyone. And mm-hmm. what builds our faith is different for everyone.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's ourselves that build it. Sometimes it's someone else that builds mm-hmm. it for us. And we get to go, oh, thank you. I accept. Right. Like mm-hmm. it's just, and how are you to know as little old human Karen Ann? Right.
Exactly. That's why I want to ask the guides. Almost like sitting down and going through the roster of all the clients I've seen so far, at least in 14 years, and be able to go, okay, why this one? Why not that one? Anyway, that's just an aside. So anyway, we had that little conversation around the word managing and family, and he said, just go back to open. He says, this is really good. And he goes, can you tell me a little bit more about that target on me? He says, you referred to a target on me. Mm-hmm. He goes, and you're saying mom put it on me. He says, that's stuck. He goes, that just hit something. He says, could you go back? So I did. I asked the spirit guides about it. And I said, on their behalf, mom put a target on you to be able to get away with her behavior so she didn't have to do any work for herself. Dad was okay with the target on you because it took all the heat off of him because he didn't want to manage anything anyway. He didn't want to deal with anything. And I said, but the target has been on you since you were a really little kid. And he goes, do you mind if I ask when? Do you mind if I ask if there's a particular incident? So I asked the guides that, and they said, not really, that there wasn't one particular day where all of a sudden it was like, this is it. He's the one I'm going to pick on. So I didn't really have a solid answer. It seemed to come gradually where she picked this. And he goes, is there a reason why she did? And I said, well, again, we'll ask. And the guides came back and said, yes, because he was so gentle, so easygoing. And that pissed her off. So, and oh, pardon me, Kelly, I forgot one. And because he was so easygoing and so forgiving that she didn't think as he aged that he would complain.
Oh, this is like the Ted Lasso moment. Do you remember, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched Ted Lasso, when he confronts his mom in the final season?
Yeah.
He's like, I love you. And also, fuck you.
Yeah.
Right? Finally getting to that place to be able to confront what wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
Instead of being gentle and forgiving.
Yeah. And so she does this to him because it also means that because he's like that, I can get away with this for as long as I'm going to get away with it. And apparently this has been decades. So I said, so I want you to hear something from the spirit guides. And I said, I'm going to channel it word for word. And I remember being very slow and saying it very distinctly to him that she put a target on him that he had an expiry date in the family. And that expiry date meant no contact. That meant that if you choose to be healthy, you can't choose this family. Because I put the target on you, not your sisters. They're not going to have to go through this. You. And so he's like, do you think you and I can talk for a second? And I said, yes. He goes, this, can I now say some things to you? And I said, yeah. And he goes, this whole session's blowing my freaking mind. He says, you're answering questions that I've asked myself over and over again.
This is also just for anyone who's, you know, starting to listen or who hasn't been a client yet. This is an unusual session because normally we ask for affirmations after each message that we give. And for whatever reason, you felt your way through this with the guides where you said, I don't want you to say anything.
Yep.
And you just like gave him the rant.
I gave him a rant.
So this is an unusual thing. So, yep. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he got a long rant. And then he affirmed and said, Karen, I've been convinced my mom has mental health issues. He said, now that I'm an adult, he says, I'm in my 30s. And he says, I don't want to say too much to you, but I have on it on good authority that my mom has mental health issues. And I said, that's good. I'm glad that you have that then, that you've done something to get that. And he said, and my friends are trying to encourage me, no contact, but not just with my mom. They're saying that it's going to have to be with my whole family and that I'm out, and that basically I never had a chance to be in it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and you're literally telling me exactly what my friends and their family members have been trying to help me understand, and that this wasn't about me, and that I'm not enough, that I am not good. It's not that I'm not good enough or worthy of being loved or smart enough, and that I am all of those things. And I'm like, okay, hold on to your shorts. Can I continue? And he goes, yeah, go. So I said, well, okay. I said, so the guides are saying that your sisters are not going to ever join you. So part of what you're asking is if you go off on as no contact, will your sisters figure out that, you know, he's right, or I can start seeing this behavior in mom and dad, this is messed up or whatever. I said, the guides are saying flat out, they are totally invested in mom and dad because they have partners that partner them the way, like they're duplicating mom and dad's patterns of this codependence and all of this, oh, just really toxic family system. And I said, so your sisters have no intention of joining you because they're living their lives like this and they're raising their kids like this. And so you eventually over time will see where they each pick a child in their own families that they put that target on, that they're mean to, while they're nice to the other kids in the family.
Yeah, and you can't have a healthy uncle calling out your bullshit.
Bingo. So ultimately, they don't want you there. Ultimately, they can hardly wait for you to go no contact. And they're not going to say, oh, oh, lamb, oh, they're not going to chase you. They're not going to do a damn thing.
This is sad.
Yeah.
Also, go on.
Okay. So I said, now, let's shift. I said, the guides are showing me where you already have a family and that you over years, just from meeting, wanting to meet your own needs to be loved and supported, which you have an absolute right to as a human, you have actually spent more and more time with your friends' families where your friends' parents parent you.
Hmm.
And I said, so you easily could go no contact versus some other people that haven't built that system yet. You've been slowly building that system where you've called home and said, I'm not coming for Thanksgiving. I'm busy at work, but you go to a friend's house with his parents and his family, and where they already made you feel like you're their family.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make you feel like you're the guest. If you want seconds, you got to get it. If you're on dish duty, you got to get dishes tonight. If you're going out the door, they'll say, pick up the garbage on the way out, lamb. And he goes, yes.
It's such a good feeling. It's such a good feeling to not be a guest in someone's home.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I said, is that correct? That was the first time I asked him for that, for a validation in the session that I was spot on. And he went, Karen, he says, you've been spot on the entire session. And he says, I can hardly wait to tell you how you've made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, anyway, you continue. I don't want to interrupt. You go. Are you done? You tell me when I'm allowed to go. So I went back to the spirit guides and I said, you know, what else do you want Lamb to know? And they said, we want him to know that the soul contract for him truly is that he's living his life path to choose healthy families.
Congratulations, sir.
It is truly on his life path so that he picks a healthy partner. And we're saying he doesn't have a current partner. He does not have children. So we'll just give some more little.
Oh, so this is like a chosen family that you're talking
yes.
about. You said he had a family, but you meant like he's built up other people, he's, not blood related,
that's
not
right.
offspring.
That's right.
Neat.
All through his friends.
Beautiful. I fucking love it.
All
and thank you.
Them.
I don't know if the friends listen and are like, I know this lamb story. Thank you on your behalf, or pardon me, on our behalf, for helping to create one more healthy person in this world.
Yeah.
And for your trust.
Yeah. And for sharing their parents and their siblings.
All of it. Yeah.
Their dogs, like their home, maybe beds, like whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like there's so much that you share.
It's interesting too, because I want to say also sharing responsibilities, because
yep.
when you're, you know, on your way to someone's house or walking out of someone's house, parents of a friend, let's say, and they do say, can you grab the garbage and toss it out? It's like, huh, they see me as one of them. Like even having to take on a responsibility like that, it's like I'm being included like the family.
Exactly.
That's important.
Yeah.
If it's not coming from a place of I am better than you, right? Like if
yeah.
it's truly inclusivity, go on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excited.
So Lamb was able to confirm for me that he's single, that he doesn't have a girlfriend, that he had no interest.
That's probably good for now.
That he has no children. And that little cluster of things was correct. And then he said, are you finished? And I said, well, let me check in. I said, so you fully understood that this is in your soul contract to go no contact, to move towards the families that you create. And he goes, I got it. So I said, okay. So I just said to the guys, are you done? And they went, absolutely. We are done. So I said, Lamb, what do you want to do? And then he goes, oh my freaking God, Karen. he says, I have to tell you that I can hardly wait to be done with this session because I can hardly wait to call my friends.
Mm.
And he says, because they are obviously hoping that I'm going to get this message so that I just fully stay with my family of choice and health and finally leave the other family just to be done.
Mm-hmm. There's little that is more heartbreaking than being over here in health, actively working in health, because it's always a work in progress, and watching someone that you love deeply straddle the line when it feels so obvious to you how deeply supported that they could be if they just picked up that other fucking foot and came over to the light side.
Yeah, and you know what? They have to pick up their own foot. Nobody gets to push the foot over.
Yeah.
Because if somebody tries to push it over and say, get into health and I'm just going to shove you there, holy crap. And I know what you're going to say. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I understand the universe and that there's options here.
But again, there is a readiness that has to have been there all along.
Yeah.
A willingness and the capacity or the ability that if someone does pick your foot up, like maybe I might have done in your past, something in you was already ready, willing, and able.
That's the point.
And you needed someone to just go.
Yes. That we're on the same point about that. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So then he went on and he confirmed just different things. He thanked me for confirming his mom's mental illness. And he said, you know, you're a stranger. He says, you must get told this all the time. You're a stranger. How do you know this shit? And he goes, at this point, I don't know how you know. I don't know how you get any of this information. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't care.
There's the faith.
Yeah. He goes, just like, I don't know how a surgeon is going to do a surgery for me. I don't have to know. I have to have the faith that the surgeon knows what they're doing and they're just going to get it done. And when I'm out, I'm just going to be happy with whatever the results are of the surgery. I'm not going to say I need to know what you did and understand it in order to believe it's healed me. He goes, so I'm good. And he goes, and honestly, he says, I am so damn happy to know that the spirit world would be happy with me to take both feet and put them with healthy people and that I don't have to feel shame.
Ooh, okay, so pause. That's true for anyone. So if any one of you was like, good for him, that must not be true for me though. Someone would be upset with me. Some of the guides would be upset and be mad that I left my family or I left my niece or nephew or I left my so-and-so just so I could get healthy. The guides want that for everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he just said to me, I've been grieving for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like making this step to accept my family and stay with my family and go no contact with my biological family is just an easy step at this point. Because if I stack up, and he says, my friend family has stacked up all of the evidence of all of the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go there, they have said to me, why would you go back there for Thanksgiving? This is how you're going to be treated. You always want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You always want to go back, but then you come back eventually and we hear your hurt and your pain. Even if you had fun with the kids, even if you had, you know, a better time with your mom because she was in a better mood.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be that when mom's in a better mood, it gives permission for dad not to be in a good mood because
he doesn't have to manage.
You got it.
Shit. Yes. You're always waiting for the shoe to drop.
That's right. So he says, so to think that I could go on with my life without ever having to deal with all of that stress anymore, or to even think about it when I'm not in it, the preamble before Thanksgiving, the post after Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is never a day.
Yeah. And like, let's put it this way. There are some people who plan to go home for the holidays, knowing that they're going to hate it, to the point that they also pre-book their therapy appointment for when they get back from holidays at home.
Yeah.
And if it's not a therapy appointment, they book the friend date so that they can debrief.
Yeah.
Because what they just put them through and what they're about to put themselves through, they know is actually quite unmanageable for their soul.
Yeah. Yeah. So he just ended it like with those comments and just said to me, how prepared he was and that he felt that he had already done decades of grieving the family. And then he said, plus he says, you're basically telling me the truth. My mom put a target on my back, which never allowed me to be a part of the family to begin with.
Right.
So why would I spend all of my time grieving a family that never wanted me in it other than to not treat me nicely or throw me some breadcrumbs so I'll stay for all of that shit? Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm just old enough. And I don't know what that meant, but he goes, I'm just old enough that I'm okay going.
That's a great session.
Yeah. Remember I said a difficult session, but it ends well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about how we label sessions too. Like, he doesn't sound difficult. The messages are in the heart mm-hmm. center, very difficult. Mm-hmm. But sounds very respectful.
Yeah.
Very open, very responsive. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's awesome. It's difficult work going forward, but he's got the right systems in place too.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing. That was actually really enjoyable and enlightening.
Good.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.